Sahanavavatu, sahanaubhunaktu, sahavirayankaravavahai, tejasvinavadhitamastu mavidvishavahai. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Bhagavat Sandarbha Adhyayana 3 Adhikarna 2 from Anucheda 37 page 24. How can my form be all pervading? Right, so Krishna is asking. So Brahma answers, first you were alone. Then from that form you became all the calves and boys. Now after these forms disappeared, you remain in your form which is non-dual Brahman. By seeing the creation, maintenance and destruction of the unlimited forms, unlimited material forms, I must accept that you exist beyond all that. The conclusion is that you are all-pervading as Brahman. Right? So we see this point being brought up again and again, but it's actually a very, very essential point. Because if we don't start with the form, the medium-sized form, then we're either starting with God, yeah, right, as a Mahanarayan, mm-hmm, or we're starting with Brahman. And we're taking these as supreme. Yes. Then you have these other features. He's Brahman, then he's also God. So like we see with the Mayavadis, he's Brahman, but then he is Paramatma as Ishwara, but then they take as mundane. Yes. And then him as Bhagavan is even more mundane. Yes. Because at least as God, he does all the big royal stuff and does all the right things. Yes. But then as Krishna, he's doing all kinds of far out things. Right, so it goes lower, so everything's reversed. Or if you start out as God, you know that Narayan is the main. You know he's God because that's quite easy to accept. Then okay, he has that feature of all pervading, but it's not so prominent. You know the knowledge is there, but the weakness comes as the sweetness won't be there from Bhagavan. It'll just stay in majesty, right? And then, if it's staying in majesty, then the knowledge of Brahman, it just becomes that aspect of Gyan, and it remains. It doesn't have to go away to appreciate God in majesty. Does that make sense? So it gives a very particular flavor on how you're understanding and accepting the absolute truth. So, if we're starting with the medium-sized form, and that form is expanding, and that form is incarnating, and that form is all-pervading, yes, then whatever you think of, the knowledge about how Krishna is everything doesn't remain as gyan. You just remember Krishna, Bhagavan. Yes. And how he's controlling everything, it's just a feature of him as Bhagavan. Does that make sense? So it's actually quite an essential point in the philosophy. That's why you see again and again and again it comes up. Even that, you would just think, okay, that point's brought up, now we move on. No, this one has to be driven home because you have to reverse the thinking process. Because if we start with, if we're starting with Brahman, we're using an ascending process. Even if we start with Paramatma, it's still an ascending process. In one sense, because then Krishna as Bhagavan is an expansion of that. Does that make sense? So it's important to understand is his medium sized form as Krishna and Braj, that's the first. Then the other aspects come. Because, okay, even you say is okay, but you accept him as God and all that, and he's there and he's Vaikuntha. But what is the feature, the difference, what can you say is a major, I mean, besides the opulence and the sweetness, that's what we generally point out. There's another aspect why we say anyone in the spiritual realm is practicing pure devotion. But what's being practiced in Braj? Pure unalloyed. What's the difference?
100%.
Yes, 100% for Krishna. But what is missing that is allowed in Vaikuntha? That's a spiritual desire that is not practiced in Braj.
That he's God.
That he's God?
Four kinds of liberation.
Right? Because if he's God, the liberation is in context of God. Right? But the liberation, who's the beneficiary of the liberation? The jiva. But pure unalloyed devotion, or devotion, it's about Krishna. You understand? In other words, if I take anything and connect it to Krishna, I get purified. Right? If I perform any duty that's recommended without attachment, I'll get liberated. I may have nothing to do with the Lord, but I'll get liberated. Right now, if I connect that detachment to Krishna, right? So I'm performing my duties, I connect it to Krishna. So connecting it to Krishna, then I get purified on the spiritual platform. The other one, you get purified on the material platform. You'll be nicely situated in goodness, but the other one, you'll be situated in pure goodness. Right? Vishuddha Sattva. But it doesn't mean it's devotion. Means, of course, karma and jnana have to function with some devotion. Otherwise, they don't work. Because the only process in the cosmos that's actually working is bhakti. And karma and jnana are just features of bhakti. Right? Means the knowledge about Krishna, the activities connected to Krishna. So, if you have bhakti, then you have the proper knowledge and activities. But if you have just the knowledge and activities, and they're connected, because knowledge that he is God, that's not a problem. All the six philosophies accept that he's God. But the point is they're agnostic because it's not about devotion. Does that make sense? So that also is then the feature is there, is that if you start with Paramatma, you're also then naturally keeping the point of liberation. And you're still keeping some about yourself. But it's in context of Krishna. So it is perfect. That's what you say. It's perfect. Anything in connection with Krishna is perfect. You know, it's just like we see we call them winos. Yeah? Yeah. It means guys that just, you know, alcoholics. Right? Because it'll be easier to get wine than it will be to get hard liquor, right? You have to be a lawyer for that, right? No. So, they're alcoholics. So then there was one alcoholic on the Bowery bums that was outside Prabhupada's door. And generally those Bowery bums, they were all like off Wall Street or something like that. You know, it's just that the bottom fell out and they lost all their money and they ended up on the street. The family tossed them out, you know, like that. So then it was explained to them that the Krishna is the taste you're getting in wine. There's a taste there, specific taste, that what they're drawn to. That taste is Krishna. It's not the wine. It's Krishna's potency. It just happens to be that particular potency is manifest on the wine. You know, riding your bike, you know, off a cliff is another taste. You know, different things like that. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that was explained, and the person then started thinking like that. And in a few weeks, they were a devotee. Or the other was, is that you have to offer everything to Krishna. Since you're totally into your wine, it has to be offered. But wine is impure, but it's made with water. So the pure water that's in there, you can offer that. You can't offer the other part. And so then they did that, and within a very short time, they became a devotee. Right? So it's connected to Krishna, you will be purified. But the point is then devotion is something else. It's beyond. Like, never forget Krishna means it's always connected to Krishna. But always remember means it's about devotion. Does that make sense? So the positive has to be there, just that, oh, when will I give up material existence and being forgetting about, you know, just being absorbed in material nature and give up all this sinful, but where's Krishna in this? Right? Why do I want to do that? Because it's pleasing to Krishna. So if that's pleasing to Krishna, then the important point is pleasing Krishna. The focus should be on, I'm trying to please Krishna. To please Krishna, I give up material existence. But giving up material existence will only give you liberation. It doesn't give you bhakti. But devotees are doing this in context of Krishna, so they're working at both at once. That's why it's considered mixed. But the point is because it's connected to Krishna, they're getting purified. And because they're in the association of devotees and they're rendering devotional activities under the direction of the pure devotees, therefore, then we're developing devotion. You understand? Does that make sense? So that's why this is such an important point. Is if you're starting with Bhagavan, the person, it's about remembering the person, about being absorbed in serving that person, not because he's God. Right? Otherwise, if he's not God, would I serve? You understand? If we're looking at that point. It's because he's God, that's why I serve. Otherwise, I'm going to serve whoever's the biggest around. You know, Shiva's there, Brahma's there, Indra's there. But he's God, so therefore he's the one. He's the source of the others. Therefore we worship him. Right? So then it will be about that context. It's not pure unalloyed. It's perfect because he is being perfect who he is. Anything connected to him is perfect. Like the material energy works perfectly because it's his energy. Right? We make a mess out of it. We do the things and say, that's it. You know, like the doomsday, you know, sayers. Then it's, you know, you've done this. That's it. It's forget, you know, forever, you know, and like this and that. No, you know, it's just like we'll say, it's, you know, there's always the thing, you know, if you had a cake, this atomic thing, then there'll be so much time. There's nothing happening. And that, you know, 10,000 years and this and that. Chernobyl is verdant with life. You know, 30 years after. They may be highly radioactive and they might be a little bigger than normal, but, you know, point is it's going on. Because Krishna's laws are perfect because it's connected to him. Does that make sense? Yes.
You said about that, the different types of liberation that the Vaikuntha Vasis, they aspire for practitioners. And then you have the Gaudiya Vaishnavas also. They do aspire to develop a particular rati to serve Krishna. Then that is considered to be pure unalloyed. Like,
yes. Yeah, so what's the problem? Because the one is, why being on the same planet is that specifically? How is that connected to, you know, I mean, you're on the same planet as Krishna, or you have the same form as Krishna. But where's the connection to Krishna, other than you have the same form as Krishna? Or,
so then can we say that?
You know, it's just like this. Let's say you go to Janmasthami, and you have this special sari you've been saving just for the occasion, right? You know, it's unique, it's different, it's special, it's, you know, you got it from a special place like that, you know, how you say, what's that place? Seasons, right, in Bombay, that's the new place, right? So you've got it from there, and then Janmasthami comes, you put it on, you go to the temple, and you're there, and you're really happy, and then after about 20 minutes, you notice there's another lady wearing exactly the same thing. Okay, so what happens? Now you just automatically, oh yeah, we should hang out, you know?
Yeah.
You know, and that spend all the time, yeah, we're doing everything, yeah. So what's the specialness? You know, you're in the same temple room as everybody else. All those people, all those 10 buses from Midnapur that showed up with all those yelling and screaming villagers like that, they're also in the temple room.
Yeah.
Salokya, right? You show up with your jewelry and everything like that at the big wedding and all that, and someone shows up with exactly the same thing. Whoopee. You know? And somebody's decided they want to hang out with you. You know, so wherever you walk around the temple, they're hanging out with you. They're right there, you know, yeah, yeah, you know, buddy, buddy. So how any of those four specifically mean devotion? You know what I'm saying? Just them themselves. We know that it's because of devotion that they're there in Vaikuntha. But the liberation itself is not specifically devotional. It's in context of Krishna. But it doesn't have that devotional, personal drive. In other words, it's about oneself. While rati, it means the particular attraction you have to Krishna and how you're going to express that particular service to Krishna. Okay? Thank you. So we're good? Why we see this point as being, you know, brought up again and again and again? Because it really makes a difference on whether you're seeing it as the ascending process, descending process, or a mix. So Vaikuntha means it's descending, but it's still mixed with that ascending aspect about yourself. It'll be predominantly the one. The other one will be predominantly the other. Take the Brahman, it's predominantly ascending, but there is the aspect that is the absolute, so there is some descending aspect to it. Does that make sense? And material is just ascending. Yes?
The Hamsa Guha appears, and also in the 13th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that one can know me, one can know my Brahman aspect, the Jiva can know Brahman and Paramatma, but he cannot know me, the Bhagavan. So Brahman and Paramatma, some extent comprehensible by Jiva. But the Bhagavan cannot be known because of, like Prabhupada writes in the purport, because he has unlimited opulences.
At the same time, he's a person.
That's the same point.
Okay, very good. That makes sense. Yeah. So if there's some little faith, you can know him up to that level. But that has to be only with devotion, the grace of the devotees, you can go beyond. And just by being a materialist, you're following the Vedas and that, you can understand something about Brahman, like vaguely mentioned, like that. And then if you're not following the Vedas, then there's even more of a vague idea. Because at least there it's about Brahman. If you're not about that, then there's just some kind of ultimate kind of thing like this. But ultimately, as it mentions in Gita, it'll be sense gratification will be the thing. Like that, you know, best friends forever, or the marriage will last forever, or this and that. At least, you know, Christians are a little reasonable, until death do you part, right? You know, they don't say forever, you know, like this.
Prabhupada writes in the purport that the scientists, modern scientists, they cannot even understand the senses and sense objects. And beyond the sense objects, there's Brahman and Paramatma. They can never understand.
Yes, yeah, they can't even understand the sense objects. They can't even remember where their shoes are.
So Maharaj, without the guidance of the bona fide parampara, means it's always the ascending process is always there.
The ascending process is always there, because unless you've heard from authority, there can be no descending. Even in the modern, we're just taking purely mundane, still you approach the teacher, the educational institution, and they have their standards, whatever they are, however recent they are. But you follow that, then you become recognized for knowing that body of knowledge. So it's descending in that you're learning about what someone else has given. But the descending is basically only paroksha, what you've heard from others. It's their perception by their senses, and then you hearing about that. Like somebody telling you, oh, I went to this place, it was really, really nice. Like that. So that's paroksha. So they've observed it through their, you know, academic method. And then having observed it, then they, then they, being authorities, is accepted, and then you study that, and then you're accepted that you know that, so in your own way, you're an authority. But it's paroksha platform. It hasn't come from actual authority. It's just their senses. So it's always going to be imperfect. So it's only given such recognition. In other words, the that kind of knowledge can only be seen as you know, bona fide, or let's say not bona fide, but let's say the topmost value amongst those who pranamoy is their social system. But when you move to manamoy, then unless it's from the Veda, unless it's coming down from Shastra, unless it's coming from the Lord, then it's not accepted as actual descending. Right? Then if that's not interpreted according to the position of the soul and seeing everything in that context, then the vijnanamoy, you don't accept dharma, artha, and kama. In other words, for the ordinary person, kama is the holy thing. And then artha is the higher, right? But then they don't get into dharma. Those who accept dharma, then artha and kama are secondary aspects. But if you're into moksha, then dharma, artha, kama, these are lower levels. And so therefore, then if you're into bhakti, then dharma, artha, kama, and moksha, these are lower levels. So therefore, as you're saying, the only by approaching the Vaishnavas in the bona fide parampara, then you actually get real descending knowledge, your complete descending knowledge. Because then it's starting with the Lord personally and then coming down. Otherwise, his features as Brahman and Paramatma, yes, it's coming from there. You know, means even if you don't accept the Vedas, but you accept modern science, you're going to observe things. And what you're observing is Krishna's energy. It's still his energy, like it or not. You accept God, don't accept God, it's his energy. Right? Like that. The scientist did not make it. He did not make gravity. He did not make time and space. Right? So that's the point, is that your it only actually becomes fully descending when it's coming from the person. Because otherwise, even these others where they're trying to separate themselves from the Lord, there is nothing but the Lord. They're only dealing with the Lord. But because since there is only the Lord, you can't separate from yourself from the Lord. So actually you can't. But that doesn't make people devotees, you know, because everything's God. Because it's consciousness. So if your consciousness is God conscious, then you get the credit for connecting it to God. But even though you're only exclusively dealing with God, if you don't connect it to him through consciousness, you don't get the credit. Does that make sense? Let us say, you know, just as an example, let us say some arrangements were made for a program. Right? And at that program, then, how you say? So someone appreciates it, comes up to you and says, "Yo, I heard you made all these arrangements. They're really great." Right? And then you just say, "Yeah, thank you." Okay? So you're getting the credit. But the point was, is you and one other person actually did it. So if you didn't mention them there, you don't get the credit for having mentioned them. So now that person will just go around saying that you did everything, and when the person who was helping hears about it, you know, they say, "You didn't tell them?" You know, especially when it was the other guy's idea. Yes, and so that's the whole thing, is that credit is given where there's the consciousness. Does that make sense? That's the whole thing. So why is that? Because Krishna is consciousness. That's where it's all coming from. So because he is consciousness, that's why everything's based on consciousness. So yeah. So this aspect becomes very important because of that. So that we actually see things in the proper descending from Bhagavan. Like that. So, as sadhakas, then we hear about this, therefore, then we make that endeavor to come to that platform. And because we're trying for that, Krishna being pleased, then he reveals himself. But it's not that just because we've heard about Bhagavan means that we automatically understand. Right? Just because I've heard. Right? Because that's the modern context. You've heard, therefore you know. Right? Because understanding is what they call realization. When we think of realization, we'll think of, oh, I understand it. That's called understanding. That's gyan. Realization means you value it, you live it. That's the difference. So that comes with practice. So that's why sadhana is there. Either it comes naturally, just immediately, or through practice. Does that make sense? So you could say is, oh no, but I want to go for the immediate because it's higher. The immediate simply means they did the sadhana previously. Maybe not this life. They did it previous life. So it's done. That's why it says it takes many, many lifetimes. Right? So therefore, if we take this lifetime and remember Krishna, you go back to Godhead. You know, it doesn't matter how many lifetimes it took to get to here. We're here now. Right. Is that good? Yes.
The doubt is that in Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu it is explained that all the way up to Ashakti, we're driven by it's an intellectual process.
Yes.
We understand who Krishna is, his position, his place, everything.
Yes.
Even at Ruchi we understand this thing is tasty, that's why I want it.
Yes.
And so the question is, by what magic it happens that we forget about his position and we just fall in love with him as a person? We don't care about anything else. So how is that happening?
Because in here is that we're going for, means when it's being explained about this, and so that ruchi is saying it's the taste or the attachment, that's to distinguish it from rati.
Yes.
Right? But it doesn't mean that there's not an appreciation that taste is Krishna. Or who you're attached to is Krishna. That's where the magic is. So in other words, bhava or rati is what has extended all the way down to Shraddha. That's why, at that point, that's why it's considered special. Because before that, Ajnata Sukriti, it's always special. But it takes on a uniqueness when one comes to Shraddha. Because then you're in touch with bhava. But it's very minor. You know? Does that make sense? You know, it's just like the example we give of you have, you know, let's say a plate and somebody ate off of it. And they did a pretty good job of cleaning it. Right? But there'll be some fragrance there. A dog will lick it until there is absolutely no fragrance left. Right? Because there's a taste. So even though it's so minimal, it's more taste than nothing. So the material world means nothing. And then Shraddha means it's that little taste. So it's greater than anything we've tasted. But we're habituated to the one. So what you're doing is showing the overlap. So bhava is extended down to Shraddha. But at the same time, we're working with our material attraction and attachment. So it may be quite prominent, but as it goes, then it crosses. So at Brahma-Bhuta, then the material is gone. And then you're just dealing with the spiritual. But it doesn't have the intensity. So that intensity has to go. So when it gets to prema, then that's full. That is the, you can say, the standard level of intensity. Does that make sense? So the overlap is that devotion to Krishna, is the association of Vaishnavas. So you can say the real magic happens in the association of Vaishnavas. That's where the magic is. Okay? Yes.
Also, Maharaj, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur mentions that in the beginning, the sadhak for the sadhaka, he requires the assistance of karma and jnana along with bhakti initially.
Mm.
So all the stages is because we are using the assistance of karma and jnana, that's why it is. There is this distinction. And when the impurities are removed, then karma and jnana as assistance is not perceived in that way.
Yes, that's just part of bhakti. Yes. Does that make sense?
I didn't see the connection.
The connection is that we're going to say is that the neophyte is using karma yoga predominantly, while the Madhyamadikari is going to be using jnana yoga predominantly.
Yes.
But the point is he's saying it's described in this way of Shraddha to Prema simply because of our conditioning and our dependency on karma and jnana. Right, because that's the material flavor. It's karma or jnana. It's one or the other. It can be a mix, but the point is it has these two elements. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't matter how you put it together. You know, one Cheerio and a liter of milk, or you know, a box of Cheerios and one drop of milk. But there's only these two things, mm-hmm. right? So you only have karma and jnana.
Yes.
So therefore, then the jiva is going to be going through this, and it'll be more karma. And then it'll be slowly, slowly, the karma will be getting less and less, and the jnana will be getting more. Because by performing karma, then you become purified. Right? So by karma, then the whole point is that your proper performance of duty, that you're performing the duty properly. That's the real essence. While in jnana, it's about purifying the mind. Right? And the connection with the senses, and the desire for sense gratification and all that. If that's not there, you can't perform karma yoga. So that's why you see the Madhyama is performing that. Because from karma, you automatically get jnana. From any properly performed karma according to duty, you get knowledge and detachment. Automatically. Right? So that's why it's in the Vedic system, the Varnashram system and all these religious processes, you know, austerity, charity, a study of scriptures, respective elders, you know, like these things are all inherent because just by performing them, you get knowledge and detachment, right? Modern political platforms don't give you any knowledge, don't give you any detachment. He's like zero. I mean, zero is a good day. They could be increasing your attachments and increasing your ignorance. You know what I'm saying? So that's why the Vedic system is just purifying on its own. You know? So therefore then the idea is that as a sadhaka, then you're engaging karma and jnana, which is all we know, in Krishna's service. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So, because of following the instruction of the pure devotees, because the key is how do you get Krishna's mercy? Right? That's through the devotees. It follows the devotee. Mm-hmm. Right? And that devotee is the Madhyama. That's why you see Uttamas come as Madhyamas. Right? Because now, if we take it, okay, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is explaining that if you have you have to get the mercy of the Lord. So bhakti, this mercy is there. So how would that come? Because if it's given to anybody, then we don't see that happening. At the same time, we don't see it given to nobody. Right? So if you perform pious activities and you get it, that means bhakti is dependent upon karma. Because if you don't perform the good activity, you don't get the results. That's karma mimamsa. Right? God can't act unless I act first. Right, so God's dependent upon my action, hence the whole thing of everybody becoming God. Right? So now if you say it's not based on karma, and it's just you can do anything, then that's pretty haphazard also. Why would that be? Where's the organization there that you just do whatever you feel like and then you get bhakti? Right? So the whole point is that bhakti being independent, bhakti comes from bhakti. So now, if bhakti comes from bhakti and we don't have bhakti, where do we get this bhakti? Because you're getting bhakti, that means you're getting the Lord's mercy. But if we don't know bhakti and we don't know the Lord, how will we get this? So we can know the devotees. Right? Now, here's why it's the Madhyama. The Madhyama, they discriminate. Like the word or not, or we're boldly going to declare it here, they discriminate. They discriminate between their love for the Lord, their friendship with the devotees, their compassion to the innocent, and their avoidance of those who are inimical to Krishna consciousness. So they discriminate. Because they discriminate, therefore you can say someone's going to get the mercy, someone's not going to get the mercy. Because otherwise you can't give either everybody or no one. Right? Because people didn't come to the material world to get the Lord's mercy. Right? So you have to discriminate. Right? The neophyte, the discrimination will be based on something else other than these four. Their own attachments. And the Uttama sees everybody as devotee anyway, so where will be the discrimination to give? So that's why the Uttamas come as Madhyamas, and the neophytes, they function as Madhyamas. Preaching means acting as a Madhyama. Thinking as a Madhyama. So this when we talk about some of these modern preaching techniques, the problem is they're using the neophyte platform, because that's the only place where you're going to get all the politics and all the this and all those things. That you're using that as a platform for deciding about the preaching. It's not based on the Lord, the devotees, the innocent, and those who are against Krishna consciousness. It'll be based on who fits into my political context of who's worthy. Who has the particular qualities that I'll say they're worthy. So I make the decision. So it's not a good platform. That's why the indiscriminate use of or uninformed use of soft preaching is a neophyte platform. And we see technically where the pure devotees being produced from it. They may make devotees, but can they go on to be pure devotees? Like you're seeing in some places, they'll use astrology or Ayurveda or Vastu as the central point, the preaching, and add Krishna to that. And they'll take up Krishna consciousness, but they will take these sciences as more important. So Krishna consciousness has its value in as much as it supports these three. Does that make sense? So where's the pure devotee? Yes, they came up, they became. So that means the neophyte can make a neophyte. But when the neophyte acts as a Madhyama, then they can make someone that can go through the neophyte process and come to pure devotion. So all these things, they have their science behind them. Very technical science. It's just a matter of appreciating. Does that make sense? Yes, so therefore, because of the association of devotees and their mercy, that's why we advance, and by magic it turns into bhava. Is that?
Yeah.
So that's the whole thing. By our endeavor, you can get yourself through the Madhyama platform, but bhava is by invitation only. That's. Yes.
Another difficulty here is to be is that following Vaidisadhana Bhakti, we right. actually figure it out.
Right.
And at a certain level, we are quite good at it.
Yes, yes.
And then Srila Rupa Goswami explains that some stay on this path and yes. just continue all the way to Vaikuntha.
Right.
And some, they shift into Ragsadhana, Raganuksadhana Bhakti.
Right, right.
So the question is, why would we change something which is tangible and concrete for an abstract, although we know what's tangible and concrete, and just continue that, and we're good?
Because in Raganuga Sadhana, it's concrete. Right? Just like for the neophyte, then using Karma Yoga, the activity itself is concrete. But now for the Madhyama, using Jnana Yoga, that knowledge and that jnana and that's concrete. So the whole point is so Vaidhi Sadhana is concrete for that devotee. But Raganuga Sadhana is concrete for that particular devotee. So it's not an abstract thing. So as long as if Rag seems abstract, we just stick with what we are comfortable with. Because the point is it's followed because it's not abstract anymore. It's real. You know what I'm saying? You know, if we go down to that platform in London at 9 3/4 and run into the wall, we'll bump our head. You know what I'm saying? So that being a column is concrete. But for others, that being a doorway That's concrete. Does that make sense? So it's not a matter of a practice to gain raganuga. It's just the natural development. Just like karma turns into jnana, jnana will turn into rag. Right? But because you're practicing bhakti, associating with devotee, it's not that karma or jnana produce rag. It's only by the devotee's their mercy, then Krishna's merciful. So it's a matter of it. You want it, then you get it. You don't want it, it'll take a little longer. It's also important to note that within the Madhyama platform, you don't have to come to rag sadhana. Because just following Vaidhi, you could get yourself to rati, to bhava. Then from bhava, that's automatically rag. It's not Vaidhi. So by following Vaidhi, you can get yourself to braj, but you're still not prema. Prema is going to happen from rag, so at least that point. Now those who are focused on Vaikuntha by following Vaidhi, they'll get to Vaikuntha. There are even those who, there's more of a concept of rag and sweetness, but they still get to Vaikuntha because that's what they want. They're just appreciating that Mahanarayan has these sweet pastimes in Vrindavan. Like we mentioned, of the 12 Alwars, they're in the Sri line. You know, they're all Vaikuntha Walas. That three of them talk about Krishna, Radha and Krishna's pastimes. And one of them, exclusive, all of their songs are just about Radha and Krishna. Or at least to say about Krishna and the gopis. But because it's Mahanarayan who's doing this, they'll go to Vaikuntha. But for us, even if we're doing Vaidhi, because it's about Braja Krishna, we'll get there. So if rag hasn't come within the Madhyama platform, one doesn't have to worry about it. It will come at the bhava platform. That's all explained by Vishwanath Chakravarti. Yes.
Different scholars on rasasattva, they describe about what is the cause of tasting a particular rasa.
Right.
Especially in the form of poetry or while displaying a drama. Where from actually you are tasting that rasa? Mm. So the mundane scholars has the kind of understanding that it's somewhere in how it is like expressed by the actors or in the...
Okay, the excellence of the presentation.
Yes. But Baladevidyabhushan points out that's where they go wrong. The taste is actually experienced based on the predisposition of the spectator. So if the spectator has a predisposition towards bhakti, only can then he taste bhakti. Otherwise what he sees is he superimposes his own mundane feelings, and that's what he tastes from anything else. And that predisposition comes from only associating with those kind of devotees who have those disposition. In that sense, the raganuga, which is tasted, it's only more about the taste, because all other act thing is how it is displayed, the technique of doing.
Say that one again.
Rag is only about tasting more than, because the activity is the same. Just like what
it's
is
just
expressed
more
is
taste
the same.
From the same activity.
Yes, just like what is expressed is the same, the act. But those who have rag, they can see that and experience more than those who are vaidhi.
So it's not a different activity, it's just a greater intensity.
Greater intensity. That is also only because of their predisposition, which comes from association.
Association.
That's how everything depends on association from this.
Yes,
angle
yes.
Of.
So that's why you see Lord Chaitanya. Could you hear?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's why Lord Chaitanya, that these three features that Jiva Doya, Vaishnav Seva, and Nama Ruchi. So Jiva Doya is through that we come in contact with Krishna consciousness and then cultivate Krishna consciousness. But it's by Vaishnav Seva that we actually, that magic happens, that it switches into taste. So there needs to be that emphasis there. That's why we put so much emphasis on administration and management and management schemes and all that, and that's what's going to make ISKCON wonderful and so attractive. It's kind of like, no, it won't. Otherwise, if that was the case, wouldn't everybody have joined the military a long time ago? You know, if that's the you know, essential point, you know.
The problem with the military, it has very strict rules.
Yes, but it's organized.
Yeah,
but when they're bringing in corporate, they expect you to strictly follow that. You know, well, was that quadrant two, Prabhu, or was that quadrant three? You know, so they're listing some very simplistic rules and then trying to very strictly follow that. So that's the whole point, is it's not about that. It's about that you're following the rules, but it becomes more and more about Krishna. See, the form doesn't change, right? You have the you know, chef in Paris cooking, and you have Mother Jashoda cooking. The techniques are going to be the same. But the one is the intensity and connection with Krishna is greater, and the other one is just the excellence of their cooking. So that's all they have, is that for the devotee, it's the excellence of Krishna that's so wonderful. And then the excellence of the activity is just naturally, you'd match it, right? Just like for, let's say, for a wealthy person, you give them a wealthy gift, right? A very simple person, you give a simple gift. Or a child, you give them, you know, a child, a gift that matches them. So because Krishna is all perfect, therefore the secondary activities used to express devotion are also perfect. But it's not about the perfection of them that is the taste. Vaikuntha a little bit, but because he's God, so therefore it should be perfect. But in Braj, because we love him so much, he's the best, we want the best for him. So their secondary technique is the best. You won't get better cooks or better, you know, anything else, right? The conversations, the dressing, the dealings, the subtleties of the rasa, you're not going to get that anywhere else. But once you come down, it means you have that place. You're starting with Vaikuntha. I mean with Braj. Then you come into Vaikuntha. Now you see they both go together. God's excellent and his services are excellent. Then you come down to the Brahman platform. It's just the excellence of the technique. So that's where you get the mundane scholars, right? So it's how expertly the drama was performed, because you have a predisposition, predisposition of excellence. You're a critic, and so therefore, then when it's perfect, then you couldn't find any fault, and therefore it's amazing. But it's just like this. Let us say, you know, as you have kind of, you know, in the cliche of some of the modern educational systems, you know, you have grade school. And then at grade school, then, you know, once a year, twice a year, sometimes, the kids are going to practice stuff and put on some kind of performance. And the school invites all the parents. And the parents come and see. Now, because of their predisposition, then they're going to be impressed. Right? Even their child was the, you know, second lobster in the nativity play on Christmas. Right? For the birth of Jesus, right? The parent is in ecstasy because of predisposition. Yeah. So as long as they made that endeavor, they didn't freeze up, and you know, that something like that, they were trying, even though it doesn't come out very well, it's there. Like you see Nanda Baba. They tell Krishna to bring his wooden shoes. So Krishna's trying to bring them on his head. He's not doing such a great job because they're you know, for him they're big, they're heavy. You know, and how he walks and all, but it's perfect. Or bring the pot, and the pot's so big, so he just goes and puts his hands kind of around it and kind of, and they're in ecstasy.
Yes.
Because of the predisposition. Does that make sense? So that you get from the association of the pure devotees. So that's why we're hearing from, here we're hearing from Brahma how it is. You know, by hearing from Jiva Goswami, who's hearing from Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami, who's hearing from Bhagavata. So in this way, and we're hearing then from Prabhupada, then how this is, and the other acharyas. And so that by that association, and then those who are inspired by that. And so we keep that company, like Narottam Das Thakur is wanting the association of Ramachandra Khan. Is that?
So in our case, predisposition is Rati. So without Rati, we can't taste rasa, basically.
No, but the point is there's an interest in it, because the point is it being Krishna, and he being all perfect, even an interest in it is still. Because how do you, I mean, it's like in Gita, let's say we want to develop a material attachment. How does Krishna explain in Gita how that's done? No. But it means you get attached because you think about it.
Yeah.
You know, so from attraction, if you contemplate it, it becomes attachment. So, and from attachment, then there's the desire to endeavor. So thinking, feeling, willing. So you think about something, you contemplate it whether it's worthwhile or not. You remove the doubts, right? Then that brings you to thinking. I mean, feeling. So that's the manana. And so then you're going to practice that. That'll bring you to willing. Right? And at willing, then you actually act. Right? Otherwise, we're practicing devotion, but then you actually act in devotion. You know, you do something not because you're supposed to, but because you want to. Right? So in other words, why is it a sadhana? Because Mother Yashoda wants to express her love for Krishna, therefore she wants to cook for Krishna. For us, it's a sadhana. 6 times a day we have to make offerings to Krishna in the temple. Mother Yashoda cooks all day. She's always doing something connected to Krishna. Does that make sense? So minimum, she's doing it all day. So minimum, then there's 6 offerings. Because, and you see, the offering means, you know, the guy 15 minutes before the offering then walks into the kitchen, you know, how you say, turns on all the stoves at once, starts putting pots on, runs around, cuts this, throws in the pot and all this, and somehow or another, that at the last second, as the pujari is actually taking the plate into the deity room, you're coming with the puris and putting them on the plate just as he goes in the door. So in that way, we do 6 offerings. Mother Yashoda very naturally and spontaneously spends a bit more time.
Sometimes after the Gayatri, we
bring the sweets in. Right? Krishna eats sweets later, right? Yeah, so we can put the sweets in afterwards. Yeah. But that's as long as Giriraj is not there, because he eats the sweets first.
This predisposition is created by the acharyas.
By the acharyas and the followers of the acharyas. Means it's just like this. I'd say most devotees. There's always going to be those that won't be this. Most devotees actually became interested in Krishna consciousness and developed faith by associating with a neophyte devotee. So that means that potency is there. The chit potency is there. So the point is we're coming in contact with the chit potency. What? By the grace of the acharyas. Why? They're the ones that wrote these commentaries. They're the ones that gave these studies. And if we study it, then we have faith in that, we can give that to someone else. So that's how it works. That's why we try to take the mentality of a madhyama, right? Even if we're not. You know, that's why it said, don't sit on the street there for 3 hours during book distribution arguing with that guy that just likes to argue all day. Because it's not going to be any different. He's going to take a book or not. Because he doesn't argue with you, he'll argue with his roommate. Or the guy at work. Or, you know, the guy sitting on the train. He's just going to argue, that's all. and just you happen to be, you know, willing, and it's different than his regular conversations, and they're not, you know, arguing over, you know, whether, you know, McDonald's or Wimpy's is better or something like that, or, you know, who's better, Trump or, you know, who's the guy in Russia?
Putin.
Putin, yeah. You know, it's just, you know, it's just, you know, it's not that, that's not the thing. So it's just something different, you know. So it's fun. But, so you discriminate that it's not worth spending the time. You know, you try, and then when you see it's just one of those, then you just tell them, read the book, you know, like that, or come to the temple. We can discuss more then, but you don't spend 3 hours.
So then the book distributor, he creates a predisposition to the person who receives the book with which mentality to approach the book.
Yes, yes, yes. That's the whole idea. That's why sometimes if we just sell the book and then people find out it's something different, they end up in garbage cans.
Yeah.
And then, but by Krishna's grace, somebody comes along, notices the book in the garbage can, takes it out, reads it, and becomes a devotee. So, but that credit doesn't go necessarily to the one who distributed the book. The credit goes to the book. And the sincere mentality of the person who found the book. So, yeah.
Regarding the previous point about how bhav and prem do not have the aspects of karma and jnana, however, from shraddha until asakti, there is that aspect of karma and jnana that is in prem.
There is the aspect of karma and jnana. How is there the aspect of karma and jnana?
Because that is how we start. That's the conditioning that we have, either karma and jnana.
But what does that have to do with the bhakti? Bhakti is not dependent upon it. Now, just say someone comes to the temple, they're more inclined towards karma. Someone is more inclined towards jnana. Someone is more inclined towards just sinful activities. But so, according to what you're saying, who gets the mercy? Right? Bhakti is not dependent upon that.
Yes, bhakti is not dependent, but our conditionings, you know.
Yeah, but bhakti is independent. So why will it come? Why is there a Rath Yatra? Why is there a Sunday program? Why is there a book distributor? Why is there Hari Nam Sankirtan? Just because you deserved it?
Devotees.
Because of the desire of the devotees. So therefore, by their desire, then Krishna's mercy is following. So it's just devotees.
So can you say that in from Shraddha to Prem, because bhakti is purely descending, then it is descending process, no matter what is the conditioning of that particular, even if you have a...
Yeah, it doesn't matter. It just matters. It's just which aspect of bhakti they'll be attracted to. Because there's activities in devotional service, so someone's attracted to the activities. Someone else is attracted to the knowledge that's within devotional service. You know, someone else is attracted to the freedom from material anxiety, or, you know, whatever it is, or... Like in, they saw for years, it took them a while to figure it out, in Bombay, they noticed that you know, there'd be at times of the year where so many people joined the temple and lived in the ashram and worked really hard and really, really fired up, and they thought, okay, these are good people. And then at a certain time of the year, then everybody disappeared. It took them a few years to figure it out. What happens is when rainy season started, because Bombay, they get a very serious rainy season, all the people that lived on the street, they joined the temple and lived in the ashram, right? So, and, you know, they understand, they appreciate, so they'd work hard, they'd do their service, they weren't lazy, and they'd get 3 times a day food and that and everything, place to sleep, and as soon as the rainy season is over, they'd much rather be on the street than be in the temple, because, you know, hey, they're materialists. So then they're out the door, you know? So just arti aspect, isn't that? As soon as that thing. But that Gyata Sukriti, can you imagine that? 4 months straight that they're doing really nice service? That's going to be some. Some would become devotees, but so many would disappear. So it just means those who became devotees had a volume of Gyata Sukriti. So this little bit more then made it. For these other ones, they're just developing. Yeah, so I say bigger Samkirtan.
It's cheaper, Marshall.
Huh? Chaturmasyasa, yeah, then they get the benefits. Yeah, so many benefits like that. You know. Yeah, this guy's going to, you know, become, you know, Indra or something in his next life. Is that clear? So it's by the mercy of the Vaishnavas, then Krishna's mercy follows that. Because there's the two things that are going on, is that there is the aspect of we're following the rules and regulations and knowing the knowledge, perform the activities. But there's also that interest and desire in Krishna. That interest and desire, that's the rag. But it's only called rag when it's prominent. So everybody, any devotee, there is that aspect of rag, but it's not prominent enough to call it rag. It'll be called vaidhi, because the reason they're doing all their activities is because of the vaidhi. Rag means you're doing it because you want to do it. Does that make sense? Yeah?
So natural will happen to those for whom it is natural. And if it's not natural, they'll just continue with
vaidhi. They'll just continue? And at the point of Brahma Bhuta, then the rag will start. Because the point is that from the influence of the Sahajiyas, it's just taken that bhava is perfection. But you see the Acharyas, bhava's not. It's prema's perfection. So that's why they'll take it as a big thing. What do you mean on bhava? But you have to before that. How do you get to that? Our point is this bhava. It is that state on which you take your activities, that attraction to Krishna, and bring it to the point of intense, spontaneous devotional service. So prema is the perfection of spontaneous devotional service. Right? So by vaidhi, you get bhava. By bhava, you get prema. But we're taking it by this influence of the misunderstanding, is that my sadhana is establishing me in prema. No, your sadhana is establishing in bhava. Bhava in prema. But all the way through the association of devotees, that's all there is. There isn't anything else. So even you have meetings and this and that, but the important thing is the association of devotees and devotees trying to work together for a common cause of pleasing Krishna. Therefore, that's why there will be some taste in that in having a management meeting that absolutely no management gets done, because they all devotees came together and are trying to do something for Krishna. Even though technically nothing gets done other than they sat in a meeting and agreed on something and didn't kill each other. But that they cooperated for Krishna, it's service. And so they'll have a good taste. And so then, at the end of that meeting, then what's the question? When's the next meeting? Not when are we going to apply what we discussed? That never comes up. Who's gonna ask that stupid question? You know, who wants to put in that work? But the taste that they get to get. So it's just sadhu sangha. You know, you could have, you know, had someone had lunch at their house and invite everybody over, and they all hang around, and they would have gotten the same taste. But, you know, you don't feel like you're really accomplishing something and this and that. So you put it together and you have the flavor. Because devotional service includes the other things. So you get the devotional benefit, plus you feel you did a great job. Does that make sense? Sadly, it does, right? So that's the whole thing. So any of these things. But we have to understand, just like, let's say you have kirtan. You know, at the kirtan mela, you're going to have those that just come because of some come because you're supposed to. It's, you know, it's the holy name and we should put in the time, and, you know, it's 12 hours and, you know, I'm going to try to stay for the 12 hours. And, you know, it's about that. So it's not as much about the name as about this is what you're supposed to do. And then there's those who like to come to the kirtan and spend time and all that. And if it's really good, they may spend all the way through. Or if not, then they'll go home, you know, this, that, come back, you know, because it's 12 hours, you know. But then there's those who then, they just like the technically the kirtan and, you know, how is this and how is that and it's the age and it's the rules and all that. Even though they're claiming to be spontaneous, it's totally about the rules, how they play the mridanga, how they did this, how they sat, what tune they sang, you know, how long they dragged out, you know, and all those kind of things. And so then those will be there, right? You understand? So everybody has a different, but the point is they came together in association, chanted the Lord's name for the Lord's pleasure. That's the real taste. Some will come away as, I follow the rules, you know, and Vaidhi, I follow the rules, and Rag, you know, because nowadays Rag has rules, right? You know, even though the Shastra says it's beyond rules, but there's certain rules you have to follow to be Rag, you know, so like that. And then there's those in the middle, it's just, you know, it's there. They wouldn't have a kirtan otherwise. Like there's someone else, so it's like they have some free time, the devotees are there, they'll have a kirtan, right? Others, there's free time, no one else is around, then they'll just, you know, do something else. Right? Does that make sense? So the point is that they want to have a kirtan. And others, it's there, they're happy to go. They like kirtan. Does that make sense? So you're going to be getting all these tastes from one thing. And by the point is that association, that's what drives it forward. But we'll be thinking it's because I followed the rules, or because I you know, it was just such a perfect, proper kirtan, or like this. But it's just that it's association of devotees. So that's why it'll work. That's why Krishna consciousness goes on despite us. Right? How do you have 800 centers? Who has 800 centers? You know, what multinational organization has 800 centers? And that's the centers. Then you have gatherings and this and that. You know? Who has that and has basically zero administration? That means it's Krishna's mercy. It's a spiritual movement. Right? So it's a matter of, these things have to be done. They will be done by Krishna's grace. If someone can step forward, actually have the skill and can do it, then it works. So we see it's the association where devotees try to associate. They try to cooperate and work together. So that's more important than whether the administration technique is correct or not. It's the association. So that's why you can't push it too much for or against, as we saw in the 11th canto. Krishna's pointing out the faults in these other approaches, but he says finding the faults in these other approaches, even though they're faulty compared to pure bhakti, that itself is a fault. Because we should be pushing pure bhakti. So that's the real thing, it's that pure bhakti. Does that make sense? Therefore, coming together, having a kirtan, you know, like that, and reading something from Prabhupada, like this, it's all that nice association. You know, taking prasad. So if nothing else, it's just that association and doing service in connection with Krishna. That's the beauty of it. You know, doing that in the Dham. You know? So, you know, and so like that. So that way it's an improvement.
This is what we are trying to do in this course.
Yes.
To push pure bhakti.
Yes. It's about pure bhakti, about associate. Because it works because Prabhupada's recommended it. The acharyas have recommended it. So we see is that it's there. It was always done. It's recommended by Rupa and Sanatana Goswamis. But we see with Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he formalized the concept of actually having courses and studying and getting degrees. Mm. And Srila Prabhupada, following in that same line, then gives us something that we can relate to. Mm. Like that. Because the ones that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur gave, basically, when you finish this course, they might make sense. Then you could go for those if you want. Like that. But as an alternative path, no. Vedanta Acharya, what will understand for Vedanta? You know what I'm saying? So that's then it's by sitting and associating and discussing about Krishna, that's then what makes it nice. And then this process of you know, clearing doubts and that. You hear, you think, you ask relevant questions, like we see Krishna in the Gita. Krishna explains the whole second chapter of Gita. That's the essence of the whole Gita. In a nutshell. After that, then Arjuna has his first doubt. Right? Then it goes into karma, then into jnana, then like that, and there's so many questions. So that's the process. And if we do that in connection to trying to understand and please Krishna, we might come more from a karma thing, more from a jnana thing, you know, it doesn't matter, because the process itself is hearing and chanting about Krishna and the association of devotees. So it's Samkirtana. That's why it's that's the whole point. And because of that, it has its effect. We get the mercy of the Vaishnavas because we're associating here. This verse is Brahma speaking. It means, you know, this paragraph. The one before that, that's Jiva Goswami speaking. The one before that, we see Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is speaking. Yes. Before that, then Brahma is speaking. Yes. And all this is being organized by Jiva Goswami to chalk out the path given by Rupa Goswami. Right? So all that association is coming. So, and we're only doing that because there's a course and there's a degree. Right? Like that. Some come, they like just like to hang out, but the basic point is that it's because it's organized. That's why we're doing it. Because
yes.
Otherwise, if Lord Chaitanya hadn't organized the Samkirtan mission, because it uses the term, he organized it. That's why it's there. Like that. This is something. So it's because he. Then we follow that. Then it works. So that's the beauty of it. Yes.
No? I'm just thinking. The beauty of it is that. It became organized only in the third generation from Lord Chaitanya, because he just preached and
right.
enjoyed in the rasa.
Yes,
and
yes.
His followers, the Goswamis, they wrote the books.
Right.
And then Srinivasacharya Narottam, and they went and they organized it. And
yes, yes.
It wasn't really organized.
Yes, yes. And they brought it into the, you could say, the contemporary society at that time.
Yeah.
And then Bhaktivinoda Thakur started to bridge the gap because the contemporary audience now was foreign.
Yeah. Yes.
You know? I mean, you can say as with the Goswamis and that, they would be foreign, but they were local foreign.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You know, they just happened to come through the Khyber Pass, that's all. That's yeah. But then it was a foreign culture, completely. You know, it wasn't you know, say, an Asian culture that kind of had that central point of the Vedas. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur started, then Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur brought it specifically in, and then Srila Prabhupada actually took it and established it. Like that. Yeah, so then because of their organization, then that's why then we have. So that's why every acharya, there's something that they've added to this mission of Lord Chaitanya. They've added something unique and something special. And because of that, then we are getting the benefit. You know, so it's like, so, yes.
Just amazing how if we try to add to organization of the mission something mundane,
yes,
somehow it evaporates by Krishna's mercy.
Yeah, of course.
Either subcommittee, committee, or a resolution, they just disappear like this.
Yeah. Yes.
And nobody even remembers which were the resolutions or what was the committee in the 2000 this year.
No.
And all what you remember is actually this association that you said and
yeah.
chanting. And
that's the thing.
How is it possible?
Because it's a spiritual movement.
But
so it's Krishna.
Organization would be destroyed by this.
Every other means come back after 9,900. And 50 years. And this same situation will be there. It will be the destruction. But because this is the beginning of the movement, it's Lord Chaitanya's movement, it is happening. Despite us, that's why it's foolproof. Despite us, it'll work. Like you said, it'll just evaporate. But come back at that point, these conversations, these attitudes, these political correctness, this will destroy it. And within 50 years, it'll be gone. So that's how it works. And then one can enjoy, you know, what is it? What would we have? 417,000 years of, you know, pure Kali Yuga, pure unalloyed Kali Yuga. So that's the thing. That's why we should not lose hope. Because it's not about the techniques and all that. Of course, we want to use the best for Krishna because he's the best. But at the same time, it's just about that devotion to Krishna. That's what makes it work. And so we can be confident that the movement goes on despite whatever is, despite us, it will go on. Om Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandini.